Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ask the expert, Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic, with us in studio to answer all of your health questions and queries this afternoon. Niall, how's things?
Things are great.
Good. Thanks for joining us. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Get your questions in. This listener's toddler, Niall, is teething, but gets very upset because he's obviously in a lot of pain. No matter what we give him or do, he won't settle at all. And it's particularly bad at night. So is there anything I can do?
Yeah, there are a few things you can do. Definitely making sure that they're covered for pain relief is the most important thing. And I assume that they're doing that. One thing that's quite good to do at nighttime is actually give a suppository. So that's a little tablet that you put into the insert into the back passage, really. And that's really, really good. It's absorbed quickly. If they vomit, if they're spitting up, it'll, like, they don't lose any of it. And it's really, really effective for that. It's a phase a lot of children go through, which doesn't mean we diminish it, but there is a sort of an element of just trying to get through it, I suppose. One other thing, if a child is persistently in a lot of pain over a reasonable period of time, like a couple of weeks, I'll usually say not a bad idea sometimes to get the child checked out just in case they're constipated or they have another thing going on. Like, we'll often, when a child comes in like that, I look in their throat, I'll check out their tummy, just have a look at their back passage. Could they have a little? Sometimes if they're a bit dehydrated, especially as a lot of children are in the current weather, they might have a little anal fissure, which is a little cut or a little tear, and they withhold their stool then. So if a child is very much in discomfort, out of kilter with how they usually are, I would usually get them.
Bring them in.
Yeah, I would get them checked out, but I think it's worth trying a suppository with that child first.
Okay. 087 1400 106. Keep the questions coming in. This listener suffers terribly with sciatica. They've been in pain killers on and off for the guts of 6 months, but I'm wondering, they say it isn't a permanent solution. So is there any permanent cure to this?
Yeah, so sciatica is a really common nerve pain that people get usually
down
there.
Very debilitating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's down their buttock and down, often can go down as far as their ankle. And for some people, it causes horrific pain. It depends on the cause, really. You can take a lot of different types of painkillers, and some will work very, very well, some won't. Really, the permanent cure, I suppose, the person is referring to oftentimes is surgery if it's a disc issue that's causing it. So oftentimes what will happen is there's a disc pressing on a nerve or pinching a nerve in the back, and that's what causes the problem. So if somebody comes to me like that, the first thing that I'll do if they've been on painkillers on and off would be to consider getting them a scan to have a look at their back. If someone has sciatica and they develop numbness or pain, we'll say around the kind of penile area, back passage, undercarriage, or a lack of sensation around that area, that's a medical emergency and I'd go to your doctor. There's a few things that can be done there.
Okay. Listener got their eyebrows waxed and they've been left now with some red marks afterwards. It looks nearly like the skin was burned in some way. Perhaps the wax was too hot. Is there anything I can put on the red skin? Sounds very sore, actually.
Yeah, it does. It sounds really, really painful. I think so. With something like this, a moisturizer is the name of the game straight away. So something like Silcox Base or even aloe vera, like similar to how you would
cooling
treat,
nearly.
Yeah, similar to how you would treat a sunburn. Aloe vera can be very helpful for that. Keep it in the fridge and apply it fairly liberally and fairly regularly. If the redness was spreading, I would get it looked at. It should heal up with just moisturizer, because obviously wax is hot, dries the skin out.
It's been ripped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's something I don't know much about.
True.
But I'll take your word for it. I'd get the aloe vera on that, definitely.
Yeah, okay. 2-year-old has a rash around her mouth, Niall. We've tried a steroid cream. It's cleared up, but it comes straight back again. It's quite red. It's very itchy. We're wondering what could be causing it.
There's a common enough rash that children that age can get, and it's called a lip-licking dermatitis. So it's where a child keeps licking their lips to the point that they get a bit inflamed, and then for relief, they lick them again, and that moisture kind of helps. So that's kind of a behavioural thing, and it can be hard to sort of get children out of that habit. So that's if it's what we call perioral, or all around the mouth. Steroid creams would clear that up, certainly. Sometimes a bit of Vaseline around it can help, because it acts as a barrier and kids don't like the taste of that. But it can be a frustrating and fairly recalcitrant thing. So it does tend to come back and recur. More common in winter, though, mind you.
Than that. Listener thinks that they have a blocked oil gland on their lower inner eyelid. They were on antibiotic drops for a few days. It's cleared now, but it seems to be back again. It's been weeks of red eyes. Nothing seems to be clearing it. Mainly one eye, but the other is very dry as well. Should I go back to the doctor?
Well, sometimes if you have an eye, so it depends really what they mean by an eye infection. So if it's on the lid, that's a sty usually. If it makes the white part of the eye red, that's an eye infection. So that it's an important differentiator. If it's the white part of the eye that's gone bloodshot and red and it's not settling with the sort of topical treatments, I would occasionally advocate that you get a swab done with your doctor and get that sent away, just in case it's a particularly sort of difficult bug to clear. There are two or three different eye drops that we would use regularly. So if you've used one and it's only partially treated, it's worth considering a swab and getting another one. If it's the eyelid itself, then that sounds like a sty. And the best treatment for that is kind of a warm flannel that you squeeze out with water and just apply it to the eye three or four times a day. And that'll often break it up. If it doesn't, you do need a small procedure then.
Listener says their child has head lice, was treated, they treated it at the weekend. The creche said that the head lice are still there though. Can we treat it again now 2 days later?
You can. And one thing that's important, I suppose, would be to make sure that you're getting the comb, the kind of the fine comb, and just trying to comb all the little eggs and everything out as best you can. It's kind of unfortunate, really, but yeah, sometimes you do need to treat again in a relatively short space of time.
So within 2 days would be okay.
Yeah, it depends exactly what treatment they're using, just to double check which formulation. But I think if their scalp is otherwise okay, if it's not inflamed and they still have the issue, then it's probably reasonable to try another treatment.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. If you have a question for Dr. Niall Breen this afternoon, listeners suffering with lower back pain at the moment and they're 29 weeks pregnant, what pain relief can they take, Niall?
They can take paracetamol. There was a bit of a scare over paracetamol. I think Donald Trump said something about it some time back, but it is safe to take in pregnancy, provided you don't go over the recommended dose. I suppose somebody who's got a pain like that, you'd want to make sure that they don't have any bladder symptoms, that they're not having any vaginal bleeding or new or different discharge. I think if it just feels like a muscular thing, take paracetamol. If it's not settling, consider booking in with your GP just to get your urine checked and a bit of a checkup.
How many days should you leave that or give it?
It depends. So some people are fairly heroic with pain.
Yeah, I know.
And they'll leave it way too long. I think if paracetamol isn't settling it and they have a concern, particularly if they haven't been pregnant before, I probably would consider it. Sometimes if this is your first pregnancy, there's a ligament called the round ligament that stretches and it can cause a lot of discomfort. But I suppose I would have a low-ish threshold if that pain wasn't settling within a day or so to get that checked out.
Okay. I want to book a trip to go on safari. I'm wondering what travel vaccines do I need, says this texter.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Nice trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So depends where they're going, I suppose, is the first question. If it's Africa, I suppose most people who are going on safari will need they'll need a vaccination for hepatitis A and typhoid. Those are both foodborne, so you don't have to be doing anything risky to be at risk of both of those. It then depends on what type of trip you're doing. If you're going into a yellow fever zone, you would need that. Not everyone can get that vaccine. And also, if you're going to be handling a lot of animals, it's worth considering a rabies vaccine as well, depending. There's no real rabies in Ireland, as far as I'm aware, but it's definitely out there on other continents.
Don't you also need to kind of have a look at the knock-on implications of where you're travelling to? If that, you know, has any sort of block potential, and you're travelling then to other countries? And
I suppose you would. I tend to keep it medical when people come into me for travel stuff. But most people, when they're going on safari, they'll be going to Tanzania or down to South Africa or somewhere like that. If they're a bit more ambitious, they might be going to somewhere like Namibia or Gabon, which is on the other coast.
So they need to check out what they need.
Yeah, I would. I do an awful lot of travel medicine and travel vaccines in my practice. So somebody like that, I would usually take them in, go through, I'd get them to send in the itinerary first, and then you can know pretty quickly exactly what they need.
So they just send their itinerary basically to their GP, and
well, it depends. Not every GP will actually do travel vaccines, so it's probably worth giving them a ring first of all, to see, because to administer yellow fever, you need to have a particular license from the HSE.
Okay. Listeners struggling with insomnia. I've been a pretty good sleeper, but since losing my mum in January, I haven't slept a full night. And at the moment, I would say I'm maybe getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep and I'm exhausted. No matter what I try, I still can't sleep any longer. I find that I can get to sleep, but then can't get back to sleep once I wake up. I've cut caffeine and all the usual things.
Yeah, well, I suppose I think the person has mentioned there that they're having difficulty since their mother passed away.
Yeah,
so, yeah, so often there can be a bit of a bereavement reaction or a bit of an adjustment. And many times I'll meet people who would have been doing a lot of caring for a parent or for a loved one who passes away, and there's a big void. So for somebody like that, I would usually invite them in, do a bit of a sleep hygiene check, which is, they've already said they've cut out kind of caffeine and the usual things, but not having screens in your bedroom as best you can, or a telly, trying to keep regular hours, all that kind of regular stuff. I do occasionally will give someone a very short course of a sleeping tablet just to help them, especially if they've had a long-term insomnia, maybe for 2 or 3 days. They carry their own risks, which I counsel people for, but they can be very useful, a kind of resetting sleep. If there's an underlying, I suppose, bereavement reaction there, that probably needs tackling and needs a bit of fleshing out as well. It might involve sitting down with somebody beyond your GP. So that's probably something that, it's been ongoing 7 months. Somebody should go along to their GP and have a chat about that.
All right. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million for joining us here to answer listeners' questions on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.